Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Ayin Dalet. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, by Margie and David Sachs for Refuah Shleima, for Miriam Bas Gili, by Sheila Klein and Avrami Gelbstein on the yard side of their mother Libby, Liba Hanya Bas Yisrael Avraham Aleha Shalom, by Avram Forman, Lezecher Nishmas, Pesach David Ben Avraham Aleha Shalom, and by Karen and Mark E. Benson, commemorating the ninth yard site of Mark's father, Jack Benson, Yaakov Ben Yitzchak Kohen Zichrono Levracha, whose yard site was on the 23rd of Iyar. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. We are holding about 12, 13 lines from the end of the page on Daf Ayin Gimel and Beis, V'HaKotzer, and as that word indicates, we're going to begin by discussing Kotzer and many different ways that one could violate the Malacha of Kotzer. Then we're going to get into Malachos that involve separating, and why we need so many malachos that involve taking out impurities from something. Then the Gemara is going to go into why kotesh is not a nav malacha, meaning if every step of the bread making process is nav malacha, whatever happened to crushing the grain? That should also be a nav malacha. And then the majority of Amud Aleph is going to discuss the dinim of borer, and specifically in the context of explaining a very cryptic brisa about borer. We're going to have five different explanations for this very cryptic brisa about borer, and much of Hilchos borer emerges from this daf. Then the Gemara is going on to talk on the bottom of the page about whether ochel mitoch psoles is mutter when you're doing borer. Are you allowed to choose out that which you are interested in, the food, from that which you're not interested in? On Amud Beis, we're going to discuss the melach of tochen and whether chopping vegetables is a violation of tochen. We're also going to discuss the melach of bishel on a daraisa level. First of all, why is it called ofe and not bishel in the Mishnah? Second of all, what exactly is the geder of the melach? Can the malacha be violated if what you're cooking is not a food item? Then the Gemara is going to go through a list of kalim, where when you produce these kalim, when you make these kalim, one could be in violation of many, many malachos, even through the production of a single kli. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to discuss where kosher and matir appeared in the Mishkan. When did they ever tie or untie things on a somewhat permanent basis in the Mishkan that made it to the list of avos malachos in the Mishnah? So says the Gemara, we're picking up again about 12, 13 lines from the end of the page. Two dots. V'ha-kotzer. Satana ha-kotzer, ha-botzer, ha-goder, ha-mesik, va-ora, kulon, melacha achas. That if someone cut harvest grain, or grapes, or dates, or olives, or figs, so each one has a different word to describe how you harvest them, but if you do the harvesting of any of these things, it's all the same melacha. It's that you're pulling something out of the ground from where it's growing. And therefore, if you do them all, you're only chayiv a single chatos because it's all a single malacha. Amra papa hayman deshad the piece of the diklavater tamri. If let's say a person throws a clod of earth at a palm tree and dates come off of the palm tree, he manages to get dates off of the tree because he threw threw something at the tree. Chayiv shtayim, he's chayiv two chatos. Achas mishum tolesh, vachas mishum efarik. One for tolesh, which is a tolda of kotzer. That tolesh is that's what the Rambam writes, the Lech Mishnah writes, that kotzer is when you do it b'kli. Tolesh is when you do it b'yad. The Gletal says that tolesh is if you do it b'yad, that's only if it's darko b'kli. So then it's a tolda. But if it's something that's darko to detach b'yad, then it's the av itself. But either way, achas mishum tolesh, you're chayiv for tolesh because that's an unusual way of removing dates from the tree. So therefore, since you didn't do it b'kli, you did it b'yad, or you did it by throwing something at the tree, you're chayiv mishum tolesh. V'achas mishum mefarik. And the other is a malach of separating, which is a tolda of dash, because dash is when you're mefarik the tevua from the stalk. So over here, you're being mefarik the tamarim from the branches of the dekel tree. So mefarik is like to unload, like unloading a donkey, Rashi says. That's where the lashon mefarik comes from. The Ramban, however, asks on Rashi that according to Rashi, that mefarik is because you're removing it from the tree. So that's why it should be true by every fruit. That's not unique to dates. Botzer anavim, mosek zesim. It should also be chayiv shtayim, because you're also unloading the fruits from the tree. Why is it dafka when it comes to a date tree that the Gemara identifies as a violation of Mefarik? Why not by any tree? And therefore the Ramban says that Mefarik, being Mefarik the Tamarim, is not that you're removing it from the tree. It's that dates grow in clusters, and when the cluster falls to the ground, a few dates will fall off of the cluster. Removing a date from the cluster of dates is a violation of Mefarik. Sfasemis points out that that's what it sounds like from Rashi a little bit also. Mefarik es ha-tamarim mina machbedos. So it means that it's the piruk of the tamarim from the eshkol after it falls off of the tree. But the problem with this is that's also not unique only to dates, meaning it's more limiting. It's not every tree, but there are other things that grow in clusters, such as grapes. So if you remove a grape from a cluster of grapes, that should also be mefarik. And meisim b'chol yom, that we take grapes off of their cluster after it comes off of the tree. That's how we eat grapes. And no one ever says, no one ever raises the issue that that's a violation of mefarik. So that's a problem in terms of explaining like the Ramban. Tosa says, no, it's not about removing the date from the tree. It's not about removing the date from the cluster. It's the shell that grows around the date, that you're removing the date from inside a shell. That's a violation of Mefarik, because there's an extra shell that grows around the date. So in Shvisas Shabbos, he just points out, it's a great explanation, except it doesn't exist. There is no shell that grows around the date. Tosos may not have seen, maybe didn't have date trees in northern France, but there was. But it's just not the Metzius doesn't seem to carry through in terms of what kind of shell they'd be talking about that happened that grew around the date. So anyway, somehow it's a violation of Mefarik. Rav Ashi Amar Ein Derech Tlisha Bekach Vein Derech Prika Bekach. And Rav Ashi disagrees. He holds it's not the Derech to do Katsira nor Disha by throwing something at a tree. You do it Biyad, you do it Bekli, you don't throw something at a tree, and therefore you're going to be Potter because it's Ein Derech Bekach. Vama Amar. Then the Mishnah had mentioned that making a pile of something, gathering something into a pile, is a violation of a Malacha. Amar Rav Haiman, the kind of Milcha Mi Milchasa. If a person gathers salt from the place where they mine salt, chayv mishum ma'amer. That too is a violation of ma'amer. Abai yomar eni morel begidule karka. No, salt is a mineral, and ma'amer is only begidule karka. Ma'amer only happens when it's something that actually grows from the ground, that's actually nourished from the ground. Ve'hadosh. Then we said threshing is one of the avos malachos. So tana, hadosh, v'aminapet, v'aminafet, kulan malacha achasein. It's not only dosh, if one is menapetz pishtan from its stalks. So he beats the flax, or he's a menafet. He stretches out the cotton as a way of separating it out and disentangling it. So in all of those things, it's all the same basic malacha. So if you do them all behelam echad, you only chayiv one carbon chatas. Hazorav aborav atochen v'merakid. But we listed as four separate avos malachos: zora, borer, tochen, and merakid. So ask the Gemara: Hainu zora, hainu borer, hainu merakid. Obviously, tochen is not the same thing. Tochen is grinding, has nothing to do with the other three. We just mentioned it because that's the Sidura de Pas. That's the order that the Mishnah mentioned it. But Gemara is pointing out over here that Zoreh, Borer, and Merakid all seem to be the same malacha because they're all about removing impurities from separating the Ochel from the Psoldas, even though there's some sort of difference between them. But it's the same basic idea of separating Ochel from Psoldas. Yerushalmi says that if someone spits into the wind and the wind spreads out his saliva all over the place, that's a violation of Zora. So the Arzuru and the Rokech quote the Yerushalmi La'alacha, and the Ramah Paskins that way as well. So Nishmas Adam says that seems to be against our Mishnah, our Sugya, because our Sugya assumes that the whole kunz of Zora is not just scattering something in the wind, it's about the fact that you're separating one item from another. It's a borer kind of malacha. So anyway, so they ask the Gemara, why is it that that each of these gets their own title? It seems like all of the other examples that we were given, that we were giving recently, that they should all be included under the same av malacha. So Abai Brava, Damir Tarvayu, Komilsa, David Mishkan, anything that happened in the Mishkan, Aval Gavdika de Damila, even though there's another malacha that was similar to it, that was also done in the Mishkan, Chashavla, it gets its own shame av malacha. And that's why Zora, Bora, and Merakid are three separate avos, because they were all done in the Mishkan. So that's what defines an av malacha. melacha. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that anything that was done in the Mishkan is not melacha, v'lichshuv nami kotesh. Why don't you count the crushing of the wheat in order to remove the klipa around it? That should be an av melacha also. That's even though it's very similar to dash, which was done in the preparation of the samanim that they made for the dyeing of the curtains in the Mishkan. But and you would think the Tana wouldn't want to mention two very similar things. But the point is, we do if it was done in the Mishkan. We do mention similar things. So how come Kodesh wasn't one of the Avos Melachos? Two answers. Amar Abayi, answer number one, Shekein Ani Ochel Pita B'lo K'tisha, because it's not really a Melacha Chashuva. Not everything that they ever did in the Mishkan is considered a Melacha. This was not a Melacha Chashuva, because an Ani would be able to eat his bread without doing any K'tisha. So it's not necessary in the bread making process, and the Tana already mentioned the Melacha of Dash, so he doesn't have to mention this. Included in because it's included in the Melacha of Dash. But Zorah, Borah, Merakid, they're all necessary in the bread making process, and even an ani would do them, and therefore they all get counted. So Rashi points out, even though in the Mishkan it had nothing to do with bread, when we talk about bishul in the Mishkan and all of these and all of the sidura de pas, it wasn't really about bread. The construction of the Mishkan, they didn't bake in the construction of the Mishkan. It's all about cooking the dyes that they used to make to dye the curtains. So even though the sammanim, even an ani would be kotesh the sammanim before he would use them as a dye, that there's no difference between an ani and an ashir. But nevertheless, kotesh is not considered one of the avos melachos, because the Mishnah is listing those melachos that are part of the sidura de pas. And ketisha, even though the case that happened in the Mishkan was about dye making, the most common case of the violation of the sidur of the sidur de pas melachos is in baking and cooking. So because in baking it's not done, it doesn't make it onto the list of avos melachos. Since it was a melacha, but it is still a violation of something, meaning it's just part of dash. It's not its own separate av melacha, but it's still a violation of something. So a person is dash v'katash be'alam echad, he's lechara would be chayiv only one. But Rashi suggests that maybe he'd really be chayiv twice. It's just that we don't list it separately because it's not part of the sidura to pass separately. But from a Mishkan perspective, they were in fact separate from each other, because from an asiyas, from making of the dyes, they're considered to be separate. So Rashi suggests maybe in fact, or the way Rashi's understood by the Maram at least, that maybe in fact you'd be chayiv twice if you're kotesh and dash. Tosos raises a question over here that we say that, oh, you know why kotesh doesn't get mentioned? Because an ani doesn't do it, an ani doesn't need it, but people other than an ani would need it, but apparently it's not such a chash of a melacha. So ask Tosos that the Gemara is going to say in a couple of days from now that an ani also eats his bread without doing borer, without being borer the kemach from the subin and the morsan, from the bran. So why, just like we don't mention kotesh, if an ani can eat bread without ketisha, we shouldn't have mentioned merakid, because an ani doesn't need to sift his bread. So Tosa suggests that only some of the aniyim would eat without sifting. Most of them would have to sift. But ketisha is something that the majority of the aniyim would skip. So therefore, it doesn't meet the threshold of the number of people that are makbid about it, that it would become and that it would qualify as an av malacha. Other Rishonim suggest, the Ri, quoted by the Ritva and the Ra'ah, suggest that the Ani that we're talking about over here is not Mamish and Ani. It means regular people. It means people who are not super wealthy. Rov B'nei Adam. The Ani that we're talking about that doesn't even do sifting of his bread, that's Mamish and Ani. So we're not going to define a Malacha based on what Aniim do, but we'll define a Malacha based on what non-Ashirim do, based on what Rov B'nei Adam, typical people, middle class people, will do. That's one answer of the Gemara. Again, the Gemara wanted to know why is Kotesh not an Av Melacha. So answer number one was because an Ani doesn't do Ketisha, so therefore it's not so Chashav. Rava Amar, Hamani Rebbe, he dam Ravos Melachas, Arbaim Chasrachas, V'chashav Kotesh, Havil Arbaim. Well, we can only have 39. So if you're going to put in Kotesh, you're going to have to take out one of the other ones. So we can only have 39. So we were assuming like Rebbe that there can only be 39. Is that really only doesn't everyone hold that there are only 39 Melachas? Why is it Dafka Rebbe that it's only 39? So who is Rebbe? Rebbe is the one that that darshens the pasuk Ela hadvarim ashetiva Hashem, that dvarim is b'loshon rabim, so it's at least two. The hey of hadvarim adds a third, and Ela is gematria 36, so 36 plus 3 is 39. Meaning there's a broader question over here. Yes, there are 39 melachos, and no one seems to argue about that. It's not like Taryag mitzvos, where you have Ma'amari Chazal all over the map in terms of how many mitzvos there actually are. Right? The Ramban writes in his first Asaga to the Ram Sefer HaMitzvos that this Maimer at the end of Maseches Makos, that there happen to be 613 mitzvos, has a lot of mazel, because there are Ma'amari Chazal all over the place. There are about thousands of mitzvos, other numbers of mitzvos, but everyone somehow works with that assumption. When it comes to 39 Melachos Shabbos, everyone agrees. Question is, how did we arrive at that number? Is it that we knew what the Melachos of Shabbos were, we figured out what all the Melachos are, and then we counted them, and we observed, okay, that's 39. Or no, maybe it worked the opposite way, that we have a drasha, that there are 39 Melachos. Now it's up to us to figure out what those 39 are. That's Rebbe. Rebbe darshan d'apostle, that Ela Hadvarim tells you that there are 39. It tells you a specific number. So once it tells you a specific number, so now you have to work backwards and figure out what the malachos are. So we don't have the leeway to include something or not include something in as a malacha, because whatever you include, you have to take something. You have to take something else out, right? Just like Monei Mitzvos do. Some of the Monei Mitzvos do as well. So that's the kunz of the Rambam's Tayag Mitzvos. Anyone can count 613 mitzvos. The Rambam made it fit with rules. He first wrote a set of rule book of klalim, of what counts as a mitzvah and what doesn't. And even with his rules, it came out to pumped exactly 613. That's already something. So, but that's what the Gemara is suggesting over here. That if you assume like Rebbe, it means you're starting out with the assumption that there are 39 melachos. Okay, so take out one of the others. Meaning we already had three about removing impurities. So why don't we just take out one of those? Take out, I don't know, Merake, then leave Zorer and Borer, and y'all know that you're not allowed to remove impurities. And therefore, we have to assume that Abaye's answer was correct, that it's about the fact that the Ani is not going to be makbid on being Kotesh, and therefore it's not considered a Melacha Chashuva. Tan Rabbanan, Hayil fan of Mine Ochlin, Borer Viochel, Borer Maniach, V'lo yivrar v'imbirer chayiv chatos. Four statements about borer. If a person has mine ochlin, so what does it mean? First of all, even before we get to the four statements, he has mine ochlin. So Rashi says it means mine ochlin that are mixed with psoldas, because Rashi says we're not goris over here shnei mine ochlin. Whereas Tosos, if you look at Tosos, it's just in the Dibra Maschil, ha'ilufanav shnei mine ochlin garsinan, that it's two different types of food. Is Tosos gear? So Rashi says that no, it's not two different types of food. We're not going to shnei mine ochlin. It's ochlin. But the point is that it's going to be a borer situation because there's psolas as well. So you're going to have to sort out the psolas from the ochlin or the ochlin from the psolas. So four statements about doing borer. First of all, you could do borer and eat. Second of all, you could do borer and leave it over. Eat it later. Third, don't do borer. And fourth, if you do borer, you chayev chatos. So obviously there's a talk about different cases, but it's left unsaid what we're talking about over here. So my kamar, what is the Brisa trying to tell us? We're going to have five interpretations. Number one, amar ula hachi kamar. Bor va'ochel lebobiyo. When we say bor va'ochel, it means if you plan on eating it that Shabbos, you're allowed to do borer for eating it that Shabbos. Borer maniach, to leave it for later, lebobayom. Even if you're not going to eat it immediately, as long as you're going to eat it that Shabbos, that's good enough, and then you're allowed to do borer. It's only called borer. It's not called borer if you want to eat it that day. It's only called borer if you're doing it more long term. The Rishonim point out, the Achronim point out that why is that the case? Meaning any other malacha like that? If I want to cook for later, so is that not a violation of bishul? I want to grind. I want to make flour from wheat. I want to do that for later. Is that not a violation of tochein? So why is it dafka by borer that it's for later on? So the Achronim point out that although there's only one malacha that's termed a malacha gerua, and that's hotza'ah, because hotza'ah is done without any creative act. It's just moving the location of an object. Borer is kind of a malacha gerua also, meaning borer doesn't really change the item either. It just sorts out, the mixture, but the item remains the same. as it was before after you do the borer. So it could be that's more limiting. That's why borer is only called melachas machsheves. If you're doing borer, it's only considered on the madrega of melachas machsheves if you're doing it for more immediate use. But if you're doing it, if you're doing it for more long-term use. But lemachar lo yivar, if you're doing it for later on, for the next day, then you can't do borer v'mbir chayev chatas. And if you do tzorach machar, then you're going to be chayev chatas. So essentially, the Ula's explanation says these four statements in the Braisa aren't four statements. They're two statements in the Braisa. Borer v'ochel, borer maniach mean the same thing. That borer v'ochel for later today and maniach for later today. That's called that you're eating it, but you're eating it later. It's also called that you're leaving it because you're not eating it right now. You're leaving it for later today. Lo yivrar and in borer chayev chatas are also the same thing. Lo yivrar is don't do it, and here's what happens if you do it. You're going to be chayev chatas. So there are really only two statements in the brisas. Mask of Rav Chista, v'chimuta lefas l'babayom, v'chimuta levasha l'babayom. Ask Rav Chista, wait a second, why should borer, the question that the Achronim deal with, because they have to answer this question, but this is the reason, meaning they have to answer what the Havamina was, but this is the reason Rav Chista rejects Ula. Why would a malacha be defined as only something that you're going to do for later on? Are you allowed to do other malachas for Bobayom for that very same day? You're not allowed to cook and bake for later that day. So why should Borer be any different? Ela Amar Rav Chista, so answer number two. What does the Braisa mean? Borer v'yochel pachas mikshir. You could do less than the shear of a grogris of borer. Borer maniach pachs mikshir, and borer maniach also pachs mikshir, because any type of brera of such a tiny shear is considered derech achila. It's not considered to be derech malacha. V'kashir lo yivrav in birer chayev chatas. And if you do a brera kashir, you cannot do that. And if you do, you're chayev chatas. So again, two statements. What borer v'ochel borer maniach means that you're sorting things out. Some of which you want to eat, some of which you don't want to eat. And as long as it's pachs mikshir, that's okay. But once you're doing it kashir, once you're using more than a kashir of a grogris, so then it's going to be asr and therefore chayiv chatos. Mask of Rav Yosef chimot lefas pachs mikshir. Wait a second, are you allowed to be ofe pachs mikshir? As Rashi points out, chatzi shir asr min haTorah. That's a sugya maseches Yuma like Rabbi Yochanan that holds chatzi shir asr min haTorah. Reish Lakish disagrees with maseches Yuma, holds that chatzi shir is not asr min haTorah, only asr midrabanan. L'chol Rashi doesn't even have to say that over here. He doesn't have to say chatzi shir asr min haTorah. The Gemara is just saying, come on, are you allowed to do chatzi shir? If it's asr midrabanan, you're not allowed to do it either. So the Braisa should not have said that you're allowed to do it. So Rashi didn't have to say chatzi shir asr min haTorah. He's overshooting over here. Even if it's only asr midrabanan, the Gemara has a really good kasha that you shouldn't be that. How could the Tana say that lechadchila you're allowed to do it? Rashi just happens to mention that's how we paskin. So he mentions chatzi shir asr min haTorah because we paskin that chatzi shir is asr min haTorah. Or you could suggest that he says chatzi shir asr min haTorah because it's roy litzarif to a shir shalem, that it's chazi litzarufei. The Gemara has such a svara that if you do a chatzi shir, that's part of the way toward the path of a full shir. That's Rabbi Yochanan's shita. So you're not allowed to be ofe and borer chatzi shir because that will lead you to a shir shalem. But if it's chatzi shir is not asr min haTorah, it's only because the Chum made a gzeira to asr chatzi shir. So it could be that there only goes around isurei achila and not an isurei afia and breira on Shabbos. Meaning maybe chatzi shir, the gzeira of chatzi shir, if you hold chatzi shir is asr min haTorah, so then it's because you hold the svara of chazi l'tzarufei. That's true no matter what kind of action it is, whether it's an eating action or a sorting action or a baking action, whatever, it's always chazi l'tzarufei. But if you hold that chatzi shir is asr midrabanan, it's a gzeira, and gzeiras are always limited to the way the gzeira was made. So maybe they only made the gzeira on achilas chatzi shir, but maybe anything that's not an isra achila, they simply never made the gzeira. But bottom line is, Rashi holds that Rashi points out that chatzi shir is asr min haTorah, and apparently it's not only by isurei achila, it's by shari surim as well. It's even by non-eating related isurim. That's against the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi has a tshuva in Simen Pei Vav where he says the chatzi shir is only asr min haTorah by isurim like Malachas Shabbos or Giluach Nazir. I'm sorry, is not asur min haTorah by Isurim like Melech Shabbos and Giluach Nazir, only by Isurei Achila. The Chatzi Shir asur min haTorah only applies to eating Isurim. It doesn't apply to non-eating Isurim. So this Rashi sounds like it's against that Shita of the Chacham Tzvi. But bottom line is, Rav Yosef rejects the Shita of Rav Chista over here, that we can't be talking about Pachas Mikshir, because Pachas Mikshir is not permissible. Pachas Mikshir is asur. So third explanation. Elam Rav Yosef borer va'ochel biyad, borer meniach biyad. You could be borer and eat with your hand. You could be borer meniach with your hand. But bekanon uvetamchu, if you're using a kli that aids in borer, lo yivar, you shouldn't do that. Vimbira pater, but that's still pater avalasar, it's not a chiv daraisa. Aval aser, aval aser, but you know, pater aval aser, right, that we just said, uvenafu v'kvara, lo yivrar v'imbira chayev chatas. But uvenafu v'kvara, if you're using an instrument that's a specialized borer instrument, not only does it aid in borer, but it's a kli, amyuchad lekach, it's made specifically to accomplish borer, then you're going to be chayev chatas. Ooh, so according to Rav Yosef, this is the first explanation that says that the Braisa doesn't have only two sentences over here. The Braisa is telling us three halachos over here, not yet four, but three halachos. That number one, borer v'ochel, borer meniach, that's just talking about biyad. That as long as you're using your hand, then you could leave some aside and eat some for now, and that's fine. That's a perfectly permissible way to do borer. Once you're using a kli that's helping you do the borer, even though it's not a kli, I mean, yuchad for borer, then it's patra v'lasar, it's nisim idrabanan. But if you're using a specialized kli for borer, then it becomes nisidar raisa. So all the contemporary poskim say, if that's really true, that you have that middle category of any kli that aids in the borer is going to be an isur midrabanan, are you allowed to do borer with a fork and a knife to choose out what you want with your fork, what you want with what you want to eat with your fork? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Archaim Chelkal Sim Kuf Chav Dalid, where he says it's even only on that middle level, it's only called a kli that's aiding in the borer if you couldn't do the borer as effectively with your hands. Meaning, why is it that we use a fork and a knife? Because we're civilized people, not because we couldn't eat just as effectively with our hands. In fact, we'd be able to rip apart the meat with our hands pretty easily. We'd be able to eat the whatever is on our plate with our hands. It's just that it's not a civilized way to eat. We don't want to get our hands dirty, whatever, but it's not about the borer. It doesn't help in the borer. But all the examples over here of what they're using for the borer actually make the borer easier. It's just not a kli amiyuchad for borer. And then when we get to a kli amiyuchad, that's where it's chayiv chatas. So mask of Rav Amnuna, midi kanun v'tamchoy ketani. You know, it could be that that's what the Braisa is saying, but then the Braisa left out the most important details. Meaning, if the Braisa is distinguishing between different types of kelim that you use for borer, maybe it should have mentioned something about a kli. How could it leave out the whole idea that there's even a kli involved over here? Ella Amar Rav Amnuna, suggestion number four, what the Braisa means. And you have to say that we're talking about borer biyad all the way through. Borer va'ochel, ochel mitoch hapsoles. You could be borer va'ochel if you're pulling out that which you want to eat, because that's not considered to be the derech breira. Borer maniach, ochel mitoch hapsoles. And then also you could borer and leave aside, as long as what you're pulling out is the ochel from the psoles. Psoles mitoch ochel, lo yivrar. And then the third statement, that you shouldn't do borer, that's talking about if you're pulling out the psoles from the ochel, even if you're doing it biyad, because that's considered derech breira. The imbirer chayev chatas, and if you did such a brayer of psalus mitoch ochel chayev chatas. So this understanding also says that there are only two statements in the brisa, right? But statement number one is that if you're being borer ochel mitoch psalus, you're good, and if you're doing being borer psalus mitoch ochel, no good. How no good? You're chayev chatas for it. But again, the Bryce is missing the most important line then. It doesn't say anything about ochel and psalus from ochel. It doesn't say, it just talks about doing borer. So fifth and final explanation, Ella amar abaye, borer v'ochel li'alter. Borer maniach li'alter. You could be borer to eat for right away, and be borer and leave stuff aside right away. So that's all the same sentence. You could be, you're being borer and eating some and leaving some aside, but that's for right away. That's as it's aiding you in your eating practice. process. Ulabo bayom lo yivrar, but if it's for later that day, don't do the borer, the imbirer, nasa kaborer la otsar v'chayev chatos. And if you did to put it aside for later that day, then it's as if you put it's the equivalent of putting it aside for much, much later, for storing it for much, much later, like a regular borer, and that's the derech of borer, and then you're going to be chayev chatos. So it's also only two statements, that if you're doing it lialter, it's mutter, if you're doing it lachrasman, you're going to be chayev chatos. So amru rabban kameh derava, amru luhu shapir amr nachman. So they told Rava that what Abaye had said, Abaye's explanation, the last explanation, and Abaye says that Shapir Amar Nachmani, that Abaye had said correctly, that his pshat is correct. Abaye, as we know, was a Yasom. Rabba Bar Nachmani raised him and taught him Torah, and therefore they called Abaye Nachmani after his father. That's what Rashi writes in Maseches Gittin, because he was like a son to Rabba Bar Nachmani. That's what Rashi writes in Maseches Gittin. There are others that say it the other way, that his real name was Nachmani, but before he was born, his father died, who's Nachmani's brother, and at the time that he was born, his mother died, and Rabba Bar Nachmani was Megadol him, meaning Rabba Bar Nachmani, was Megadol him, so he was his uncle raised him, and he didn't call him Nachmani because he didn't want to call him that. He wanted to name him after his father, but he didn't want to call him by that name because he didn't want to call someone by the same name as his father. He thought it would be disrespectful to his father, so he called him Abaye, which is a Rashi Tevos of Ashar Bacha Yerucham Yasom. So that's just a Rashi Tevos, but that's not really his name. So that's why that's the other suggestion that the Rishonim have of why he's called Nachmani sometimes and Abaye other times. Okay, but either way, his pshat was accepted by Rava over here. If a person has two types of food and he's borer one of them and he eats it, he's borer others and puts them aside. Ravashi masni pater, Rabbi Yirmi b'difti masni chayiv. So machlokas whether you're pater or whether you're chayiv. Ravashi masni pater v'atani chayiv. How could Ravashi say that you're pater? We have a brisa that says that if you borer with the intention to eat later, you're chayiv chatos for that. So how could you say that you're pater? And Rashi points out, and don't say that Ravashi's talking about where you intend to eat it right away, because then it's mutter l'chachila. He wouldn't have said pater, he would have said mutter. Pater sounds like you're doing something wrong. So lo kasha. Like we said, there's a difference between what type of kli you're using to do the borer. If you're using a kli that aids in the borer, but is not a kli, I mean yuchad l'kach, so then it's going to be patra v'lasser. But if you're using a kli, I mean yuchad l'kach, then it's going to be chayiv chatos. It was the Shabbos of Rav Bibi to say the drasha. And Rav Yami and Rav Yassi went to visit, and Rav Bibi brought them because they wanted to hear the shiurim that Rav Bibi was going to give. And Rav Bibi brought them a basket full of fruits, and then he like sort of spread it all out on the table. He poured out the basket of fruits, and it also must have had psolus in it. And he just spilled the whole thing out all over the table. So we weren't sure why he did that. Meaning everyone could have just picked out the fruits and left the psolas, and then it would have been ochel mitoch psolas. So he might have done that because he holds that even ochel mitoch psolas is aser. That's one explanation. The other possibility is, no, he did that not because he holds ochel mitoch psolas is aser, but he wanted to make it look like he has a lot of fruits. And the best way to make it look like you have a lot of fruits, spread it all out. And it's a big spread all over the table. So maybe that's why he was doing it, for the presentation style of it. Okay, Chizkia Amar, Haborer Turmosim Mitoch Psolas Shalan Chayev. If a person picks out cooked beans from the psolas that it's mixed in with, he's Chayev Chatos. Soleim Ksav Rachum Mitoch Psolas Aser. Sounds like he holds that even when you're picking out the ochel from the psolas, it's Aser. No, shiny Turmosim. Turmosim are different. Dishalkilo Shivizimni. Because they cook it seven times in order to sweeten them, and they become very, very soft. V'ilo Shakli Leim. And if you don't take out the beans from the klipos that they're in, they get ruined. And therefore, so long as they're still mixed in, they're considered a quasi-psoles. So when you but they're mixed with other beans at the same time also. So when you pull out the bean, it's a psoles from ochel. What's the psoles from the ochel? The beans from the beans. Meaning it's all really the same thing. But they're somewhat psoles and they're somewhat ochel. So that's why pulling them out is considered to be borets. mitoch ochel dami. It's like psolas mitoch ochel. That's at least one explanation that Rashi has. It's a more complicated sugya, different explanation that Rashi has as well. It's unclear what the girsa should be, ilo shakli le misrach or ilo shalki le misrach. How should those letters be arranged? Very different. Shalak means to cook, to slow cook. That apparently that there are multiple levels of cooking and you need to pull out beans after it's ready. Meaning, you know, some of the beans need to be cooked three times, some four, some five, some six, some seven. So that ilo shalki la misrach. So different explanations of how to read this, but we presented one explanation of Rashi. Okay, vatochen, someone who grinds. Amar papa, I'm on de parim silka. If a person minces beets, chayiv mishum tochen, that's a violation of tochen. Amar menashe, I'm on de sala silti. If a person chops up little pieces of wood, chayiv mishum tochen. Amar ravashi, ikapid amishchasa. If a person is being makbid on the exact measure of the wood chips that he's cutting, then chayiv mishum chatech. And that's a violation of chatech as well, of cutting something down to a very specific size. But we did say that chopping up beets is a violation of tochin. Is that true of every vegetable, or is it dafka beets? So Tosfos in Dibra Maskel Hai says it's dafka by silka that it's shaykh say tochin. Other foods, it's mutter. So the Ra'ah and the Ritva say that it doesn't mean silka dafka. It means any vegetable that's not edible raw, and by chopping it up into tiny pieces, you're now making it edible. But if you have a vegetable that's edible raw, even when you chop it up into tiny pieces, it's not a violation of tochin. However, Tosa Harash says that it's dafka a beet that you're chayev, because that's darka bekach. That's the way they would normally do it. By shar yirakos, it's not darka bekach. Tosos is going to say, much later in the Masechta, that the Yisr of Tchina is even by other Yerakos, when you chop them up very very finely. And that's what many of the Rishonim hold, and that's why we pass in Shulchan Aruch. That's why they tell you, when you make an Israeli salad, well, don't, on Shabbos. It gets into very tricky halachic issues, but you have to do it very carefully, maybe to cut the pieces larger than what would qualify normally as tochein. Because you cut something up into very tiny pieces, even though it's a vegetable that could have been eaten in larger pieces, we paskin, like those Rishonim that say, that that's a violation of tochen as well. V'alashva ofa. Then we said kneading dough and baking. Samra papa shavak tanim dan bishul samanim dahav mishkan v'nakat ofa. So why is it that the Tana, you know, we're listing all of the things that were done in the preparation of the Mishkan, and in the preparation of the Mishkan, they didn't bake, they cooked. They cooked the dyes in order to dye the Urios. So why are we talking about baking? So Tana Didan, Sidur de Pasnakat. The Tana of the Mishnah is identifying all the malachos the way they were done in preparing bread, because that's the best way to cover all of the malachos. While it's true, all of these malachos were done in cooking dyes as well, but each dye is different. The Achronim point out, each dye is different, and some of them don't have all of the processes, all of these malachos done with them. So the easiest way to identify all of the malachos in order, and to remember it, is by doing Sidur de Pas. If we were to identify it by the dye making, we'd invariably skip one, because a lot of the production of different dyes involves skipping one of these malachos. Rosh Yosef points out that Rashi says, Duhu bishul de pas, that afia is the cooking of the pas, which makes it sound like afia is the av malacha, which the Rambam paskens as well. However, Rabbeinu Chananel quotes Yerushalmi that afia is a tolda of mevashel, and it's not the av malacha itself. Amar avacha baravira, haiman deshod siksola atuna. If a person takes a wooden peg and he puts it into an oven to harden it, to take out whatever moisture there is in it, chayiv mishum mevashel. It's not an edible item, but that's also mevashel. So pshita, why not? Who says mevashel has to only be by foods? The bishul salmanim for the dyes wasn't food. So mal detem l'shurim manukam echavi. Now I might have thought that he's putting the peg in the oven to harden it, and that doesn't qualify as bishul. Kamashmal dimir parafi v'hadu kamit. That's why he has to tell me that first it softens before it hardens, and softening something by way of heat is a violation of bishul. Amar baravunayman dar to kufra chayv mishum mevashel. If a person heats up tar, it's a violation of bishul pshita. I might think that since it hardens afterwards, so that's not considered bishul. That since it softens when you heat it up, it is bishul. So now we're going to discuss making three different kalim and how it's a violation of many malachos. If a person makes a barrel out of pottery, he violated seven malachos. He violated tochein and borer and merakid and lush and memachik and mavir and mevashel. Tanura, chayv mishum shmona chatos. If he makes an oven out of earthenware, it's really eight chatos, because the same seven plus maka bepatish, because at the end, you have to line it with some sort of pitch in order for it to retain its heat. As opposed to when you're making a barrel, the maka bepatish happens by its own, on its own, once it's in the oven. So you're not doing a maka bepatish. Amra by Haiman David Chalsa, if a person makes a reed basket, chayv achasas rechatos, he's chayv 11 chatos, because he has to be noteya and kotzer and ma'amer for the reeds themselves, and then he has to be borer, the good reeds from the bad ones, and memachik, and smooth them out, and tochein, and grind up by cutting them into very thin slices, and mechatech, to cut them exactly the size, and then he's got to do the whole weaving process of the basket. So mesach, and also shtei batenirin, and oreg, and maka bepatish, of course, at the end as well. V'chayte lepume, and if he makes if he sews the edge, the lid around it, the rim around it, chayv shalosh esrei chatos, then you can add two more, because he's in violation of tofer and kosher, because he has to sew it down and then tie the end of the knot. Hagozis semer v'malabno, we said v'amenafso v'atova v'atova, were all listed as malachas in the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Chanan Rabbi Yochanan, atova tzemer shal gabi behema b'shabbos. If a person spins wool on the animal on Shabbos, chayv shalosh chatos, achs mishum gozes, achs mishum menapetz, and mishum achs mishum tove. Rav Kana Amar ein derech kaziza b'kach, ve'ein derech menapetz b'kach, ve'ein derech tivoy b'kach. That's not how people do their shearing and their menapetz and their tivoy while it's still stuck to the animal. So therefore, it's not going to be a violation on a daraisa level. Vilo v'atani b'shved rami nechemya shat v'izim v'tavu b'izim, that the women who were involved in the production of the items in the Mishkan used to do the spinning of the wool while it was still attached to the goats. Alma tevia al gabi behema shema tevia. Apparently, even though it's still on the animal, it's still called tevia. No, chachma yisei rishayni. They had an extra chachma to know how to do that. That's what the pasuk was talking about. But that's called tevia gemura when you really know what you're doing. But for normal people to do that, it's kala achrayad. It's an unusual way of doing it, and therefore would not be a violation of the malacha on a daraisa level. Okay, we fell a little bit behind. We'll try to catch up a little bit tomorrow. Be'ez Hashem will pick up with Tan Rabban and Hatolesh Esakanaf tomorrow in the fifth wide line. Okay, everyone have a great day.
Thank you.